What's for dinner? What's for dinner? What's for dinner? Talking about what's ever on their minds. Talking about what's ever on their minds.
Talking about what's ever on their minds. Hey guys.
Hello.
Hey. Oh, are you in for a treat today, guys? Are you in for a treat? I'm not even asking. I'm telling. The treat is there, and you're in for it. You're not in three it, because that'd be silly. You're not in five it, because that's not possible. You're in for it.
You're in for it.
And, of course, you're
it's
in for
it. It's a treat.
It's a treat. It's a big treat.
Not a trot.
Not a trot. Not a trick. It's not Halloween. Not yet.
Nope.
You're in for a treat. No trick. And you're not in for, and you're kind of in for a 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon of Treat Williams.
Yes.
See what I did there? And you guys listen, going, what the fuck's he talking about? I'll tell you in a second. First of all, welcome to another wonderful episode of What's for Dinner, and hope you like the new theme song. It's the second week we've had it, and thank you to Auto Rap the app for that app. Absolutely excellent theme song. And whether you downloaded this on iTunes, you're listening on Stitcher, you're just at the website, however you got here, however you found your way, muchos gracias. Today, not only is it hot as balls in here in LA, it is also hot as balls here in the living room / studio, because as always, we have on the opposite recliner, my lovely partner in life and on the podcast, Allison's here. Hi, baby. I'm wonderful. You calling me Moo on the air?
That just happened.
That just happened. Great. You
Everybody
know our
gets
pet.
To see the pet names.
Fine,
officially.
Fine. I will call you by your pet name, Twat.
Thank you.
No, I love you, baby doll.
That's true, though.
It is. Well, you're my love Twat.
Oh.
You're my Twove.
I'm so in Twove with you.
I'm in Twove with you too.
I'm in total Twove.
I'm gonna come in your Twove tonight.
And on to our guest.
Sorry,
to my
that was
goodness.
Gross. But and yes, but you didn't realize we'd get this filthy on here, did you?
No, I do. Oh. I told you I'm a fan.
Oh my god! Well, then I am, and I'm a fan of yours too. And I'm sure you guys listening out there are a fan of our guest. She's an amazing actress, singer, producer, and just all around
awesome
excellent
person.
The lovely Olivia Alexander is here, everybody.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
Thank you for being had.
Absolutely. This is absolutely a highlight of my life.
Oh.
And I'm not even being
That's
dramatic.
That's a sad life.
No, it is. It's fucking pathetic. But the thing is that you two are like extra special from another planet.
Oh God, I feel the exact same way about you.
I wish that you guys would do the polygamy show and you guys could take me on as your second wife and or first.
Yes.
I don't know if it's considered a first wife or a second wife, but we would be a triad.
We'd be a sister.
We could eventually become a pod if we'd want to like throw a fourth in.
If
but
we put a lot of peace in there.
Well, you know what?
I'm peace in the pod.
We could be the Mormon podcast and
go.
I could be like Flit Romney or something.
If you ever become Flip Romney, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
You wouldn't like that, babe?
No, I'm going to run across the border like he did or whatever. I don't know.
What?
Political jokes. Something about Mexico and he might have been somehow connected. I don't know.
He's
connected to everything.
That just shows
everything.
Shows you how much I know about politics. I'm like, something about Mexico.
Yeah,
Mitt
yeah.
Romney.
No, Mitt Romney.
I saw the Facebook post.
But when I think Mexican, I think Mitt Romney.
Totally.
You're absolutely. Hey, Mitt, where the fuck you going?
No, he's supposed to be like Mexican born.
Is he?
Yeah. Like that. I'm not.
I want to see his fucking birth certificate. You know what? This is the rumor that we're starting right here.
Yes,
absolutely.
Exactly.
He's Mexican.
Mitt Romney's
he's not
Mexican.
American. I want to see his birth certificate.
Right
I'm starting
now.
A new movement.
Exactly.
Birthers part two.
Only 47% of his birth certificate, though.
Right.
Yeah.
Only
nice.
Fuck
nice.
Me.
The part of it that pays.
Yeah.
Fuck
we've
me.
Officially Itty. Taken this a political route here. We'll
but we're
going
to bring it back. We're going
to
bring
entertainment,
which is so ironic.
But you gotta get into the entertainment to get off of the thought of politics. Politics is
well. I'm hoping that I have that moment in my life where I can make a turn like everybody against me because I say something political. I really do. I'm hoping.
Oh,
that,
that's when you know that you're
I'm hoping
famous,
that
though.
Like
I,
that would absolutely be able to happen to me in my life. Like fuck awards, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Well,
I just want people to turn against me.
Let's start it right now. Let's just you know what? Let's start small. Let's start blasting Lithuania. Let's just make Lithuania hate us.
Or like Luxembourg, one of the weird ones.
Well, Luxembourg's nice shit anyway. So let's they already know their shit. Let's go up a step to Lithuania. Oh, fuck the Lithuanians.
Yeah, fuck them.
Any Lithuanians listening, you guys suck. And you should be washed off the face of the earth.
Olivia,
like the wart of an ass.
Yes, like the
or the wart on an I don't know. But anyway.
Olivia, darling, you were saying you were hoping people will hate you. Well, I love you, but I'll tell you, you play a fabulous bitch.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
I want to hate you, but you're so precious I can't. But at the same time, in the movie, I
Your movie, Attack of the 50-Foot Cheerleader.
Yes.
Which I'm embarrassed to say that Olivia came here while we were in the middle of watching it. Because
we procrastinate on our homework.
We procrastinate a lot of shit, but we did manage to see, like, up to that point, you saw it, which was very cool. John Landis, I didn't even know he was in this movie.
The thing is that you guys are yet to get to, like, the most epic part of the whole movie. And frankly, we probably should just watch it together, because the only way to be in a movie that ends in a topless catfight scene is to literally relish every moment of watching it with people that know you personally.
Yeah.
Because your life becomes a string of awkward moments, because like half the people feel uncomfortable because they want to, you know, touch them.
Yeah.
And then the other half, they know you, and so they just get super weird, and anything can happen.
I already saw one of your boobs.
That's right.
Accident, because Olivia, then, just a little backstory, not only Olivia is in Attack of the 50-Foot Cheerleader, which is available now online for free from Epix.
Free movie.
There is no reason not to watch this.
3D movie. Free 3D movie.
We could watch it in 3D if we wanted
to. It's shot in real 3D, so if you have a 3D TV, all you'll need to do is like switch your setting over and put on your glasses, and you're good
we
to go.
It. We have all that.
But we gotta
and
make this happen.
It's a Samsung TV, and that's what's even better, because Epix and Samsung have like a whole dealio together. So it's going to
look at that.
The thing I love about it is that Epix, you know, they believe that like 3D is the thing of the future. And mm-hmm. so they wanted to be one of the pioneers of bringing like 3D to your at-home television, like taking it to a whole different experience. And when we shot it in real 3D, you know, it was a motherfucker.
I would imagine.
But it's like a 3D movie made for television. So when it's actually in your home, it's actually better than on the big screen. I've seen it on the big screen a few times.
Yeah.
And it's, I know that sounds really like lame because you dream your whole life of being on the big screen. And I had a moment where I was like, oh my God, I can't, y'all can't, you know, but it's so good on a 3D TV.
Well, you know what? We will finish watching the rest of it in 3D.
If I may say so.
Yeah, no, I will. Because, I mean, honestly.
God, let's do it.
I mean, it's all about entertainment. This is not, you know, this is not. And this is a classic B movie from Roger Corman.
Well, that's the other thing. Roger Corman is a fucking legend in the film. But this is a man who discovered and started Jack Nicholson, Bill Pullman,
Sandra Bullock, Quentin Tarantino, Ron Howard,
James Cameron. The man is a seriously
and
living
then
legend.
I went to Comic-Con, and the best part of Comic-Con was that we were with Roger. Like we went.
Walk me through this. Walk me through Comic-Con, because the movie was, you said, a very big success because it was blasted over the internet. It became
It's really interesting that Epix said, well, you know, people make things and then they don't want to pay for them. They illegally download them. Which is like, I illegally download things all the fucking time. Like, I'm not going to sit here and fool you. Like, oh, they're going to come. They already know. Whatever.
Right.
So, Epix said, we're just going to make something to promote the heck out of this channel and network and subscription service. It's like a whole bunch of things in one. And they had a contest and they said, let's come up with a title and we're going to get Roger Corman to make the movie and we're going to do it in 3D and it's going to be his first 3D film.
Is that really how it happened?
Yes. And it starts with the title. Roger Corman is such an old school kind of guy that he just like says it's about a title. He said it's like sometimes a movie comes down to I can sell it off a title, and he has over so many things. And then what's even crazier about him is like you don't realize like the first Fast and the Furious, Roger Corman made it in 1961. And then when they made the Fast and the Furious that we all know, they had to buy the title from him. He's Hollywood's greatest pimp.
Oh, wow. Dude.
He really is.
I have no idea.
He is such a genius. And that's just like one example that I learned at Comic-Con. So we do the movie and they said, you know, like, this is our audience we're trying to target. Like, Comic-Con they love Roger Corman. They love Epics, because Epics also has a documentary with the one, the only. Wait. Oh, my God. I'm going to freaking mess this up right now. William Shatner. I'm sorry. Oh. I stutter. I get overwhelmed from the experience because, so we're at Comic-Con with Roger Corman, the first full day, doing a million interviews, a million press opportunities. Everywhere we go, we're with Roger Corman. I see grown men falling to the floor and crying. I see people losing their words just like I just did. Oh. And then the next day, who flies in on a motherfucking helicopter? William Shatner. Oh, and it's Roger Corman, William Shatner, and Jenna Sims and I, the 50-foot cheerleaders. And I am about, I'm losing it every moment. You see what I just did? Like, literally, explosion. It was fucking crazy. I think I cried like 30 times, happy tears. I freaked out another thousand times.
Sorry. Well, don't let that stop you.
Yes.
I would never. I'm just a fucking phone.
Yeah, whatever.
You're like having a child, essentially, and somebody's phone goes off nowadays. It's not a big deal, you know? You're just
Most kids are born with phones now.
Yeah.
Right.
The cry phone.
Oh, the cry phone, baby. You're adorable.
The cry phone.
So you're sitting with Shatner. You're sitting with Corman. You're crying your beautiful little
shaking.
Eyes out.
I'm
And are you doing interviews on panel? Or are you just kind of there?
Yeah, we did interviews the first full day with like everyone from MTV Geek to Wired Magazine to, I mean, literally from the moment we woke up, we had to get up at like 5 in the morning, had to be there like 9 in the morning, of course. Like, had to get all glammed up. We had a driver. It was really cool. You know, it's like, I literally was just auditioning before this. Like, you're just, like, auditioning in L.A., and then Roger Corman puts you in his movie, and things start to get real weird.
Insane.
Yeah. They just get real weird. Like, you're, like, have someone driving you and calling you Miss Alexander, and it's just like, no, I'm from Louisiana. Like, I live with my parents. Like, I am not that cool. I'm not.
You are.
Well, no.
But yeah, I mean, I am. I guess I am in some weird way. But it was incredible. And then we went inside Comic-Con with Roger and
did you have like bodyguards walking with you and everything?
I mean, we had like people who brought us underneath like the convention center on these golf carts. And there were like all these fans outside screaming. And I mean, none of them were screaming for us, but like I was just like, whatever. Like, I don't give a fuck. Like, I was freaking out. I even made a YouTube video. You can see kind of some of it. Like, I, of course, had the flip cam the whole time, and I was flip camming the whole freaking thing, like, as much as they would let me. But they're like, get the, you know, fangirl out of here. But we did dress up as sexy cheerleaders. So we went to the panel. We were dressed as like sexy cheerleaders, like we are at the very end of the movie. And we went up on stage, and then we got to hear, you know, Roger and William Shatner get interviewed by Kevin Smith. And I got to meet Kevin Smith. And I mean, it was just, you don't understand. It was a crazy moment after a crazy moment after a crazy moment. I don't think I've come down from it yet. Like, it was just like electric. And then everybody's dressed up and so happy. And it's such a good community of people who like are all about having fun and clearly don't take themselves or life too seriously. Thank God. And then we had the midnight screening, and it was just
epic.
It was
epic.
Epics. It was epics.
Was then the reaction from the screening was great?
You know, you have like the people who you're not supposed to read about yourself on the internet. You're not, but everybody knows that you do. I mean, I fully admit to it. Like, you have to like go out there and like read what people are saying.
So what was the consensus?
I mean, the consensus is that I'm not 50 feet tall. I'm actually a shrimpo in person, and they're shocked by that. which I love. Because it's like
the illusion of the movies.
I'm so tiny. It is hysterical that I would at one point in my life be a 75-foot cheerleader.
When I thought it was 50. Wait a minute.
Spoiler
is there a
alert.
Loophole? Is that a spoiler? What?
Sorry.
Oh my gosh. Okay, well,
75 feet. Holy
I might
shit.
Take a little bit of extra on accident. You know, science fiction gone wrong. Yeah.
See, even women lie about their size.
Yeah.
See, it's not just guys, not just us.
But hell see, no. We do things bigger and better. We do things in feet, not just inches.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know.
That's not.
That's
the
how we roll.
It's not the height of the cheerleader. It's the size of her pom poms.
Well, the size of that her, yeah. is one of our. I think that was like one of the taglines from the movie.
Are you serious?
Have you seen the size of her pom poms? Yeah, and I know a blog.
It's on the thing.
I didn't even realize that.
Or we're going to need bigger pom poms or something like that. And then they had a contest to come up with like different taglines. And you know, like this the 50-foot cheerleader is based on the 50-foot woman,
right.
Which is based on like a fetish. Essentially, it's sexploitation. So it's like actually based on like a fetish. Like it's based on like
short Napoleons climbing fucking trees.
No, there are guys who like, you like know, they're turned on by the fact that like girls are giant with giants. It's called giantess fetish. And let me tell you something. So I didn't know this before I got into it. But like once it was announced that it was happening and we were involved in it, like they're a very supportive community. And they're a really nice like group of and they like love giants. There's like so part of like the whole thing is like it's kind of like a voyeuristic thing. Like we tweeted the other lead and I, Jenna Sims, like as the characters and like interacted with people and did different things. And so one of the days I was like trolling, of course, the internet like I do. That's why I know these things, because I'm just an internet troll like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And I stumble upon all these different taglines that they had people submitting for like a contest. And it was just so funny that I had to tweet so many of them like, we're going to need a bigger spirit stick. And then like, I don't know, like just things about like needing a bigger bra and everything. It was just really interesting, you know.
What was the final tagline that won?
I'm not even sure.
It's on there. It says like, you should see the size of her pom-pom.
Yeah, but no, that was the original one. There's a different one that's I'm sure they chose for the winner. I don't know. I'll have to figure it out.
That is so. And the title itself was just a contest too?
Attack of the 50-Foot Cheerleader. Yeah, it was a contest. And then they brought the idea to Roger and they said, you know, would you want to make Attack of the 50-Foot Cheerleader in 3D? And he said, I'd never done 3D before. And so at, I think he's 79. Okay. I think I'm wrong with that. But he produced this film with his wife Julie, who's kind of like the badass woman behind the man.
Really?
Aww. Yeah, of course. And then I came in like really early on in the casting process, like one of the very first few days they were reading people. Like I walk in there and of course like I had been in B movies before, obviously. And so I'm like, I know who Roger Corman is and I know like this is just a moment for me. Like I was like a different person. Like I was not nervous. Like I went in and I was myself and it was just the director. They brought the director in as soon as like I went in there and I was of course supposed to read for like the 6-foot blonde. Like it was funny. So I didn't even have the right side. So I was essentially doing a cold read, but I got it. And then they brought me back a couple days later and they wanted, you know, me to cheer for them and my dance background and everything. And then they had me do like, there's like an undie fun run scene. I don't think you guys have gotten to that part in the movie yet, but
no.
I had to do that for my audition. And they were just like, you didn't really do it like it was written. Like you kind of did your own thing and we kind of like it. And I just wanted to like play a good mean girl. Like I had aspired to that, like,
well,
who doesn't want to play?
Yeah, you play
I mean, and people think I'm a bitch because I just look like one. Like people tell me like my features and everything, like especially the way like the business stereotypes you and just like dark hair, dark features, whatever. Like you're going to be a bitch, but I'm a strong woman, you know? I'm like, I like to think that I'm strong and I like to think that I have personality. And the version that you guys are seeing is actually not the director's cut.
Oh, really?
The director's cut actually is even longer by like 20 something minutes. There's multiple scenes. I have one deleted scene on my YouTube channel, but the rest of them are like with the backstory with like the guy who's supposed to be my boyfriend in the movie. It's he's played by AJ Lamas. And yeah.
Is that Lorenzo Lamas's kid or something?
Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, was that the guy with like the beard stubble?
Yeah.
Okay.
So who I lost my on-screen virginity to.
First sexy scene on screen?
Very first day.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Showed up, had to go topless, and have my very first sex scene. And they give you, like, apple boxes, and you have to, you know, hump. You have to fake hump and moan, and it's a trip. It's a trip. And this is the thing. Yeah, well, because I was supposed to be growing in my scene. Like, I actually grow as a giant, like, in my sex scene. It's pretty incredible. And so we had to do, like, it so many times with green screen, without green screen, normal height, on different apple boxes growing. And then, like, I had to do it again from certain angles, like, on the green screen stage. I had to, like, recreate it.
How was that working, like, green screen and everything? Because I've heard from a lot of actors that it can be confusing, can be frustrating.
It's really, really intense because you're going in after the fact. Like, you're going in after most of the movie is edited. So they're, like, going, they have more direction for you then. They're super specific. And then you're, like, you're one, acting to nothing. B, it's in 3D for us, which always added in an element because there's two lenses inside the camera.
Mm-hmm.
So where you put your hand and certain things are really specific. And then like, where do you look? Where, especially because we were in like a football stadium, where is the stadium? Where am I? You know, like it's just a lot of detail you have to really be on. And for us, a lot of ours was this choreographed fight scene that we were trained by like a Ninja Turtle and two Power Rangers. And you know me, like I showed up like already, like I do yoga, I'm in really good shape, like all on myself. And within like an hour, I was annihilated. I couldn't walk the next day after the first rehearsal.
Oh, I'm sure.
It's really much harder to fake fight than you would ever imagine. I have so much respect for people who do stunts. Yeah.
Because you're putting like so much intensity into it.
And you have
exerting.
To do it every single time.
Repeat.
The same. You have to do it. We did it in real time, slow motion, and half the time we were topless.
And
in
it takes
our
control
movie,
to not actually
you ever
hurt
bump
the
boobs
other person.
Accidentally?
Yeah. And I also like gave, like when we actually tore each other's tops off, like they had it like trick, like done where it was like, so just at the front and then a little bit at the top and it wasn't actually tied. And we had to like, we physically, you'll see like we headbutt each other and then our tops come off. Another spoiler alert. Just call me spoiler alert today.
I can bleep all this out if you want.
I don't care.
And then
it's out. It's
out.
And I think that this is like stuff that I haven't talked about that I know people are like, you know, this is more juicy for me. Like, well, not really. I'm spilling the tea here with you guys because I know
you spill anything you want to spill.
Yeah, I'll just spill everything.
Oh, my God.
But yeah, so you're doing this fight scene. You're topless. You know, that adds an element to it. And we're pulling each other's tops. And of course, like, I'm really going for it. You know me. Like, I probably drank like 75 Red Bulls.
Oh, my goodness.
It was probably like our seventh day in a row on set. Like, it was 2 o'clock in the morning. You know, like, it was just crazy.
You were shooting a fight scene at 2 in the morning?
Oh yeah, we went like, that's another thing about Roger Corman, like you never like come back the next day. Like the schedule is so tight that like if you don't finish something, they either cut it, they cut it short, they change it, or you stay until it's done and they go into overtime and everybody's like super panicked and stressed. But like you're very aware of the budget, you're very aware that they don't have a lot of money, and it's not like you're like in a bad location or you don't have a nice trailer, like all those things are there. It's just the time. It's just the like the days that they take, you know, 5-6 hours on certain things on other projects, like they just don't do. Like they're just not doing it.
Well, I think that's how Roger Corman manages to be so successful.
Well, it is because he just keeps the budget so low.
Do you know what the budget was on this film?
I think it was between $600,000 and $1 million somewhere. There's
really?
Different. There's different rumors. I don't really know, but I know that they went like way over budget.
Really?
I know that like Julie Corman, like she's so cool. Like she was saying at this, we went to the 3D Film Festival this weekend. Like they received like a Lifetime Achievement Award, and they did a little Q&A, and we got to participate in it. And she was saying that it's just so expensive and it's so much more time consuming. And then you're like already on a lower budget movie, so you don't get that much time like for your scenes already. And it was just, it was intense, but I feel like it was like a boot camp, you know, like it's those kinds of situations that make you better in every way, just under stress and everything. And then it makes it more fun. And there have moments like what happened where we couldn't afford body doubles, especially body doubles that were going to do a topless fight scene.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we had to do it ourselves. Like that was like very early on. Like you had to be super comfortable with that content. They were really honest with it, that they were honest with that it was a sexploitation film. Like you knew exactly what you were getting into, you know, obviously they're professionals. And I go and I'm pulling Jenna's top off, and like I literally rope burned the back of her neck.
Really?
But like it's from pulling each other's tops off. Like who knew that could even happen? I mean, it's just so ridiculous. Like
why don't
we were pulling each other's tops off. Let's recreate it. And then I grabbed, and then like the back of her neck was all red, and we had to like take care of her. And it
was. Did you rub lotion on her neck?
Oh yes, of course I
did. Rub it slowly.
And I got her a bottle of champagne and some goodies because I felt horrible about it, because I'm just like over there like all revved up on Red Bull like Godzilla Jr. like. Slutty Godzilla. Wait,
can I ask a side question?
Yeah, ask me anything.
Because we did see her boobs already in the movie when she looking in the mirror after mm-hmm. she took, you know, I don't want to spoil, but are her nips kind of going one way or the other?
Googly eyes?
Are they like clown nips where they're just, you're not sure which, like lazy-eyed nips? They're just kind of looking in different directions?
I can't say. This is her coat.
Well, I mean, it's on screen. You could look for your. It's just we have.
I mean, she has like she has. Implants, I mean, she's beautiful. Obviously.
Don't get me wrong.
Neither of us
she's
have
gorgeous.
Real tits. But I don't know. I don't really spend that much. I spent like an exuberant amount of time looking at her tits. I really did. So this is where. Yeah. I mean, they're boobs.
But they're but the nips are kind of lazy.
Okay.
They're drifty.
They're not straight ahead for you. Do you only like your nipples straight ahead?
I like nipples to I like to make eye contact with the nips. I like when I'm looking at them and they're looking back at me. It's distracting if one's looking left and the other looking up. I'm like, ah, come on.
Well, at least we know what Allie
out of what's nipples going on in her life. Yeah, exactly. My nipples. No, Allie's are.
That just sucks. Like you see nice boobs and then you see them in the dress and then you look at them. And they're fucked up. It's like a booby trap.
I don't mind if they're looking in opposite directions. If it's an even looking in the opposite direction. Now, if it's one of these, it's got like one that looks up and one that looks down. It's all like lop. I don't know. Are we talking about nipples?
Yeah, we are.
Fuck yes.
Why not?
Are you just joining the conversation?
I just came back. Yeah.
Welcome back.
Yeah.
Sorry, slight distraction.
I mean, it's a TNA Roger Corman movie. Oh, of course we're going to discuss nipples.
Of course. Yes. And we also actually saw the one girl who. Tiffany, who first got it by
Anne McDaniels.
She went full on.
That scene nice has been getting surprise. a lot of attention.
Good
and
attention.
People want to talk about it with me.
With you, you're not even
like
in the scene.
Yeah, like how she like soaps them up, you know?
Yeah, we were watching and I'm just thinking, well, number one, the soundtrack is great. Great bass line going through that.
Did you hear my music?
That's your music?
Was that your music?
Oh, well, not the bounce. Wow.
It was
literally. But my music is in the movie. The opening song, Attack Attack, is my song.
That's your song?
The Dirty Girl
you
song
missed
is
that
my song.
I was going to say that Attack song, the A-T-T-A-C-K. Like,
I wrote that.
Shut the fuck up.
It's on iTunes now, available on iTunes now.
I'm
giving
you a
high five. It's on, and you can watch my music video that I shot in El Mirage.
I saw the music video, by the way. I wanted to discuss that, too, as soon as we're done with this. But the Attack song you wrote?
Yeah, I wrote
it's
Attack
really catchy.
Attack. I wrote It's On, Dirty Girl, and I have another song called VIP, and they're all in different places in the film, all four of them. And I wrote them with a guy named Joey Sykes, who has a studio, Purple Virgo Studios, and he's like really helpful and supportive of me with my music right now. And it's just like it's kind of a labor of love for me. And we got it in this film. We got it on a show on Oxygen called Girlfriend Confidential LA. It's like starring Eva Marcel, and we're hopefully gonna get it into some more projects. Like I am recording a full length album right now, and hopefully it'll be out in January when our movie that we're in comes out. Possibly I'm looking for that, and then hopefully I'll go on the road and like go on a tour and really try and do the music thing for real and give people
that.
A really good pop star give people like a really epic pop star.
Your know, music video we saw, was it the It's On?
Yeah
it was awesome. I mean, it was great.
I did that all myself, like my own budget. I produced it with some really incredible guys, a guy named Louis Martinez. And Joey Sykes put me in touch with these great people, and I came up with the concept. And you do these things on your own because, you know, 10 years ago, you put out a song, an EP, you have songs in a movie, like you have a record deal. But it's like the music business is just not what it like used to be. Like you can't be like trying, especially being a pop artist, which is like the most expensive kind of artist to be. Like essentially pop music, like to produce, it takes the most work. And then you have the image and the video and all these different things that come into play. So it was like a really big learning experience for me, but I wanted to do it. And I like to be in that creative process. You know, I like to like learn those different things. And I came up with this concept of good and evil where I'm kind of like fighting myself, and the song's kind of rocky. So I was really inspired by like the 90s and a couple different things.
The
it
video.
Had a little bit of like a Janet Jackson in the...
Well, I was going to
well,
say...
Well, that's the same desert where she shot that
serious?
Video that
love,
Herbert's did for her.
Because love will never do without you. That's
yeah,
the one.
That's
see, I was
the
gonna,
one.
I thought it had totally an Alanis Morissette vibe.
That too. That's the, another inspiration. Yeah, like I'm inspired by all those different people. Like Alanis Morissette, freaking Janis Joplin, Joan Jett. Like, it, you know, those. And then
badass.
And then new people like, you know, Lana Del Rey and different people. And I had, you know, the money essentially that I made with our movie. I didn't spend it all. Okay, I spent it all. But I that's what I do. Like, I'm all about the art. Like, I don't really, I don't really need a lot. Like, I've lived a crazy life, you know, and I used to spend my money on like Chanel and Louis Vuitton and different things like that. And for me, like, I truly believe that you can still be a successful artist, recording artist in today's time. I just think that you have to do it in an interesting and creative way. And I think that that's where I'm going with it, is I hope that in the future my videos take more of like a short film kind of feel, and there's more acting, there's more dancing, there's more. It's just obviously like people have no idea what it's like to produce like a video like I did in 2 days in LA. Like, you just, it costs money, but it's worth it to me. It's just, you know, I'm gonna, it's something that you have to be dedicated to. You know, I heard like Lady Gaga when she got her, when Just Dance really broke at radio, she was like $3 or $4 million in debt already. Like, you know, it, that, and that's usually why you have a record label, because they usually like incur the debt and then you don't make any money until they like recoup the fees. But it's a different ball game. But I think it's just about, I know that I'm experiencing it in this time in my life and with the way the internet is, because the only the greatest artists will truly, I think, continue in music.
Right.
So,
well, I think it's only the it should be the ones who have the great music.
Yeah, and that and that's another thing. It inspires you to truly be better, because you have to be. You know, like, you have to be. And so with the music, it's just something that like I love so much, and I caused, well, I didn't cause so much ruckus. The director, Kevin O'Neill, was like, we were on set and he was talking to me and he was like, "What do you want to do? Like, where do you want to go? Do you want to keep acting? Do you want to keep doing this?" And I'm like, "You know, I really want to be Cher. Like, I really want to be on stage."
Well, you better start aging.
Cher doesn't age.
She's everlasting.
Yeah. I really just want to make music for drag queens and really just get more friends that are drag queens. And I think that they'll probably be my friend more likely if I'm a pop star. No, I'm just kidding. But
no, actually, you're right. I think if you go the Cher / Bette Midler / Lady Gaga / RuPaul / Kim Curry way.
I'm trying to produce a musical right now. I got a script and I'm attaching my, well, I'm being attached to it right now. And it's a something that was an off-Broadway show I'm working on. Because, you know, I got to produce stuff. I got to always be doing stuff. Like, I just don't believe in just, you know,
sitting back.
Well, you can't. You can't. Like, yeah. Everybody's doing it. It's just, you know,
you got to find your way to the, I think the problem that, I mean, I'm in a completely different part of the industry than you are.
Yeah.
But I think the problem, if there is a problem, is universal. And that is just really making yourself, making some kind of product that has you stand out from everybody else.
I think it's quality. I think it's real passion. I think that the market is extremely oversaturated. All media is with crap. And the same crap. And the problem is that there are only so many gatekeepers. And it's like, you have to go around this town and you have to convince people to be your fan. And it's not even that you need a million fans. It's that you just need that one guy in the fucking building up on the 30th floor to be your fan. And the chances are, if you got the opportunity to walk into his office, he would probably fucking dig you. Mm-hmm. He would be like, "Oh my God, love this. Amazing. So much talent." That's the problem. Everybody's so talented in their own way and everybody has their own ideas. And it's like these specific gatekeepers are the ones who can put you out there on like that mass scale. But I think that's it too, that it's just like success can't be measured all in the same. Like, we have to stop that. Like, I'm a little girl from the smallest town in Louisiana. My parents, you know, come from really humble beginnings. I dropped out of college and I've lived a crazy life. And if I keep doing low budget films and, you know, make a couple albums and I live my art, like, I'm cool with that. Like, you can't,
I don't think people,
so this is funny. I have, you know, naked pictures on the internet and people, like, they love to talk about that, you know, there was a time in my life when I did nude modeling for money and it's like something people love to bring up. And obviously I don't care because I just let my freak flag fly and I'm just doing what I want to do. But I told this girl one time, she was like, "Oh, I would never, you know, let anybody take my picture naked because I'm going to be famous one day." And I was like, "What?" And I'm like, it occurred to me that like people, they go through life and they think like that. Well, me, I never thought like that, you know? So it's like anything that comes to me is just like icing on the cake. You know, like, I think the biggest success in my life is getting out of the town where, you know, my parents come from, and living in California and being happy
and doing it on your own and supporting yourself.
Yeah, and I think
creative people.
Yeah, and that's the thing is like I want to be in movies and make music that people that I want to watch, and I think that's what it's about. Is mm-hmm. that I think that I'm like I have a very interesting, you know, zest for different things. I'm into weird stuff.
Like what?
Like.
This getting
like
real
like space,
now.
You know? I mean,
like
we've talked about this.
Space?
Yeah, like space yes. and aliens and
oh yes.
I
I'm
mean,
reading a new
I
book,
again,
girl.
You know, it's just little things, nature, hiking, yoga. You guys know I do yoga nonstop.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, we just got back from Yosemite. We talk about nature. We died and left part of ourselves there.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. Up
I'm
there.
Trying to get out to Sedona. Isn't that what it's called? Sedona?
You mean Sequoia?
I don't know. Oh, fuck. See, I don't even know what I'm talking about. I'm really into this weird shit. And then you guys are like, what? And I'm like, oh, fuck. I don't even know what I'm talking about.
Oh, no, you know exactly. It was Sedona. I think that's a city somewhere. But do you mean like
it's
a
some place in Arizona. And it's supposedly extremely spiritual. And
oh, then you might be talking
Phoenix.
About Sedona.
It's Phoenix.
Scottsdale. Yeah,
exactly. It's Scottsdale. My God. The
Peoria.
No, Yuma.
Yeah,
Yuma.
Yuma, Arizona.
Yuma.
Mesa. That's,
you must go to Yuma.
Sierra Nevada. I've been there before. There's it.
I dig your Yuma. You've got a good sense of Yuma.
Oh,
silly.
Trying.
I love it.
Well, that's. I don't think that's weird. I think that's wonderful. Like, I think that. It's. I think that's true of a lot of artists. Seriously, that. Like, Allison is way more into the spiritualism than I am. Not that I'm not into it. She's just like way down
I'm
the rabbit hole.
I'm reading a new book. I got to talk to you about.
Can't wait.
But I think something. But I think things like that, like people who are into the arts, who are into performing, who, because if you are into that, I think you really tap into something that is relatable across the spectrum of human existence. Like you create music.
Yeah, I think that's the point of it all. Is like it's about the connection. It's about yeah. like making people laugh or making people cry, whatever. I mean. I prefer to make people laugh yeah. and make people dance and bring out like that side
happy.
Of people.
Yeah, happiness.
I think about that. Like I think about like how we had our experience on set, like meeting each other mm-hmm. and we had so much fun. If I can say what was the best thing about it, it was the fun I had on set. Everybody was there to party in
absolutely.
The best way and work hard mm-hmm. and make a funny movie and do whatever it took to make it funny.
And yeah. let me tell you this too about the film, because Allison and I were very lucky enough to see a kind of an advanced screening.
Bitches.
I know it was just it was we were at the right I was at the right place at the right time kind of thing.
And I'm sucking off the guy who was the father. So.
Well, he is the star. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, he's the mother.
The mother, the movie's the star. We all had our parts. We're all the cogs
everybody's
in the big
ladies
machine.
And gentlemen. Can I
let me tell you something, everybody. Right here. But here's the thing. Now, I'll be honest. Like, whenever I was on screen, and I'm sure you can totally relate to this, especially the first time seeing something that you did, it was very hard for me to separate myself because I kept going, oh, my God, I remember that day. Oh, I know what's going to happen. Oh, wow, this is funny because I'm wearing this or whatever. So whenever I couldn't lose myself in the moment because I was remembering being part of it.
Absolutely.
But the scenes I wasn't involved in completely, like, it was a new thing for me to see completely. One of them... was the scene with you and Arturo, mm-hmm. who is
brilliant.
Brilliant actor, very funny guy who plays the, oh my God, what was his name? His character's name. The Manny.
The Manny.
Oh my God.
Oh shoot.
Felipe!
Felipe, thank you. He played Felipe, our let's just say very Hispanic Manny. And there's a scene where your character goes to him for a kind of love advice.
Mm-hmm.
I was not there when it was shot. I did not know mm-hmm. anything about that scene. We watched it. Hilarious.
Yeah.
Both of you, hilarious.
It was great.
And we also, that was, I think, the second day I was on set. And the director, Craig Moss, pulled us aside and was, you know, having us run the scene. And I just don't believe in bras, obviously. Like, why would I? Like, why would I ever wear a bra? And
I agree. Why would I?
No, in the scene, you'll see it. You'll understand later. I have to pull my shirt up, but I pulled it up way too far. And probably within the first 5 minutes of us running the scene, as I went to do the motion where I pull it up, I pulled it up too high, and I pulled my whole tit out. And that was the second day on set, and that's really how I set the... you know, bar to get to know my director and my fellow actors. And I like to think that, I mean, I don't want to take all the credit, but I think I pull my tit out. I say, look, this is what you're working with under here. Like, we need to raise the bar in this scene. So, you know.
The bar was raised.
No, I don't know. Yeah, no.
But, you know, the bra was raised.
Yeah, I wanted to die. It was so embarrassing. But I think that we all really, it was a special moment. I think Craig is a genius. I think he knows really how to cast something, and I think he puts a lot of time and effort into his projects because he writes them. I think he's really hands-on, and I think a writer-director combination is probably and then a director who knows how to, like, talk to actors, and communicate.
Like, I had
it was just magic. Like, I just know that Arturo and yourself and everybody, every time I was in a scene, Ben, there was a moment where there was just so much to work with, and it made it very easy for me, especially because, like I said, like, the minute I heard about this, I wanted to do it. And being in a parody film for me was something that I aspired to as, like, a kid, because I looked up to Anna Faris.
I looked up to Airplane, Zucker Brothers. Leslie Nielsen, Naked Gun.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I know what you mean, to be a part of that kind of, not only because, like, I was in Craig's other, well, one of his other spoofs, the Twilight one, which was great. But to be, like, an actual, like, one of the leads in a spoof film is really fucking cool.
Yeah, and then for me, too, I can't talk about it, but getting to play the character that I played.
Yeah, which is a complete departure.
Nothing anybody would ever expect from me.
And it's so, because you actually kind of, you play two characters, really.
Yeah.
The second character is just for a brief moment toward the end of the film, but still two completely different characters, and you did it so fucking well.
Oh, so good.
So good.
Thank you. I really wanted to do a good job. I was very nervous. It was the first time I ever had an opportunity where I transformed in the role, and it definitely changed me, and for the better. Like, great. I got really lost in it. I can say that. I totally got lost in it. I got lost in the whole project. It was just so fun for me. And then I came out of it, and I'm just kind of like, oh my God, what the fuck did I do? Like, I don't even know. And you guys have seen it. So it's like, it's crazy for me, but I know what I experienced. And I know that all I'm looking for, because when you see yourself on a screen, when you watch yourself, you can watch yourself over and over again. And somebody like me, like, I can get super critical. I'm so cuckoo.
Oh, same here.
I will be, like, getting my face injected with plastic surgery. I will be dyeing my hair. Like, it's not that I'm insecure. It's that it's a very interesting thing when it's your body. Like, yeah. It's you. How do you not take it personally? Like, it's like the philosophical challenge of my life.
Well,
like,
you know, because you're talking about when your tit came out, my first day of shooting on that film.
I was there.
You know that scene I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. You were in the scene. That, for me, was like, I've never done anything like that before.
Yeah.
And I am not in the best shape.
Yeah.
So,
I'm like, that's like when you like something depressing on Facebook. That's what I just did. you were like, yeah, I'm not in the best shape. I'm like, yeah.
You're an ugly piece of shit.
No, that's not what I meant.
But I can't give anything away with the scene, but let's just say you.
Look, unless you're freaking, like, totally ripped up, like, who's that guy, Thor? Like, some crazy ass, you know, and on some crazy diet plan. They're all on crazy diet plans. Nobody looks like that. Everybody's insecure.
Yeah.
No, but everybody has body issues. Like, we're all so fucked up, and it's just like, we're all supposed to pretend like we're not, you know? But it's like, getting naked and or any form of naked or being in a social situation on a set, most crazy thing you could ever do. Because think about it, having sex in real life is, like, still already enough for somebody to be like, you know, I'm gonna put my penis inside of your vagina, you know, like, it's
well,
a
you
lot.
Could say penis, but you can't say vagina.
I don't know.
Well, that was
I
weird.
Don't like to just say vagina. It's I don't
vagina's
know.
Vagina's so proper.
Call it
a biscuit, like Honey Boo Boo Child.
Oh shit, you better redneck and that.
My favorite is not even redneck and eyes. My favorite is boo-boo. Everything smells like boo-boo to me. And then the sketty.
Oh, we don't watch it. I know, I see your tweets.
I actually wanted to talk to you about it because, you know, I did pageants. You know, I was raised in that. And I saw some of your tweets. And I agree. Like, I don't mean to say that my parents or, like, the people that I met during pageants aren't amazing. But I don't necessarily
I don't think in any way that it's like a healthy thing for a child to be on a stage, to be paraded around as a monkey, because your kid's going to grow up and be me. And you can Google me. And there's a lot of interesting photos on the internet of me. And I'm just saying, like, I don't know. It's just the judgment part of it. It's just, you don't.
So you're
going to
say in about 10, 12 years, we're going to see Honey's boo-boo?
I mean, there. I might have my own.
She might have her own child.
Look, I'm going to have, I'm working on a YouTube video right now that is Honey Boo Boo Child in when she's grown up. Because I know what's going to happen to Honey Boo Boo Child.
I think we all know.
The show Dance Moms?
I know of it.
I was also a dance competition kid, and I made a parody. What the fuck? I made a YouTube video on my things about the Dance Moms kids, because I also did that dance competition shit where you got to ton of pressure on you, and you have to perform all the time, learn new dances, travel, your parents are spending an exuberant amount of money on you, and it's a lot of pressure. And I think the biggest thing that people don't think about, and I don't mean to get like super deep and shit,
no, go for it,
but it's like you're essentially training your child to get into a pattern of constantly putting pressure on themselves, or they don't feel like they're doing anything with their lives. Because I was like in fourth grade, I was traveling to dance competitions all over the country. I was going on the airplane to New York by myself, dancing at Broadway Dance Center. I was getting yelled at. Like, it was intense. Like, we won big dance competitions, but it was, like, super crazy. And now I'm, like, one of those people who I'm, like, what is wrong with me? Like, what? You know what I'm saying? The dance competitions and the pageants tonight. No, I'm just kidding.
If you can go back, would you have still done it, knowing where you are now?
Yes.
So then it was worth it for you.
Yeah. I can't change. I would never change anything about my life. And it is realistic, kind of, in a way, to what you experience if you really want to be an actor, or at least from my experience being like a young, you know, 24-year-old girl pursuing this. I think that probably changes the experience, obviously, like,
yeah,
100%. But
when did you stop doing pageants? How old were you?
I was probably like 8, and then I went directly into dance competitions from the time I was 8. And then when I was about 13, I forged my birth certificate with the help of my mother to audition to dance at the Super Bowl, which was in New Orleans. And I made it. My mom took it as a sign. I had quit dance that summer. This was in January. And I quit dance that summer with my dance teacher because I wanted to be, like, normal. And I wanted to, like, go to school and have a life. And I was just so screwed up. I was just like, I don't have a life, Mom. I want to have a boyfriend. Like, I wanted, you know, I wanted to touch some peepees. Like, I was in 8th grade. What did you expect from me? I wanted to, like,
so
be
if you're
cool.
Wait, if you're dancing, you can't touch peepees?
Was you that just the rule? You don't have a social life because you dance from like 4 in the afternoon to like 9 p.m. at night every day, and then Saturdays 10 to about 5, and then Sundays are for homework and resting, and then you're traveling all the time. Like, it was I did it at a really intense level. Wow. And so a couple days after I quit dancing, I auditioned for like a national commercial in New Orleans, which never happened. Like, you never really had good auditions down there anymore. The market was dried up at that point. And then I had an audition and I almost got it. And then 6 months later, the Super Bowl came. I was way too young to be dancing at the Super Bowl, but they still hired me, bought the fake birth certificate, hook, line, and sinker.
How old were you supposed, what do you say you were?
Like, I said I was probably like 15 or 16. Like, we just had to change it to like 82 or something. I was born in 88. I don't remember. But I know my mom did it because she totally helped me. And then she showed
to
me
any
essentially
law
how to
enforcement
forge.
Listening right now, yeah. That's Olivia Alexander.
She essentially taught me how to forge documents that I did that in college and shit. So yeah, she was a piece of work. But anyways, I had some money saved up from dance competitions and different stuff. We got in the car. My dad said I had scholarships to dance at a dance studio out here. My dad said we could come for 2 weeks. And we had come the pilot season when I was 6. An agent had found me in a beauty pageant and said, like, when my mom decided to bring us back home, that we were making a big mistake and that we should stay, and that, like, I could really, you know, make a career out of acting. And my dad was just like, no, my kid's going to end up in Playboy and, you know, they're going to end up doing drugs and all these things. And, you know, it ended up happening anyways. So that's the best part of it. No.
Lesson
yes.
to all the parents. Just let your kids do it because they're going to do it anyway.
Yeah, of course. Basically. Of course. So we came out here for 2 weeks, and then we've been here now for going on 10 years.
Well,
Very cool.
Yeah, I mean, the universe working. Like opened up for sure and brought us out here. And, you know, you hear about it. You hear about people moving their families across the country, but you don't usually hear it from people so young. But my family is extremely supportive. Like, they really are. And they're, like, also hysterical and, like, crazy and perfect. So it makes it that much better. You know, I don't think I would still be able to keep, you know, pursuing this crazy business if, like, I didn't have them.
Now, let me ask you a question. Is there, because you, and I don't know if you even want to open this Pandora's box, but on set, you told me a lot of stories about what you've done. And I don't, again, I don't want to bring, you don't have to bring it up. We don't, honestly, we don't have to. But with all that and everything you've done, is there anything in this business that you would not do?
I've never slept with anybody for a role. I would say it if I did. Because I know a lot of people who have.
Have you had that offer?
Nah.
No, really?
No, I've never had the real opportunity. Like,
no producers said, listen, if you do a little thing to my boo-boo, I'll make sure you get something?
No.
Really?
Mm-mm.
Okay, that's good. They respect you as an actress.
I know people that it's happened to, but it's never happened to me. I think my saving grace is that
Roger Corman just said, come here, I want you to see my little Shop of Horrors real quick.
Horrible.
What?
Roger.
They call me Roger Horman.
Roger,
I'll show you why.
Never. Julie is the bomb. But she did say that she thought in another life that William Shatner and I would be perfect for each other, and I almost died.
Oh my!
So weird. It's so awesome at the same time.
Did you talk to William Shatner at all?
Yeah, I mean, I had met him before previously.
With what?
Because I dated someone whose father was in Star Trek, and they had a relationship.
You told me about this. That's right.
But we don't need to talk about relationships.
We don't have to talk about that.
This is not the right podcast for that. You guys have to put me on the single and bitter podcast. That's right. I'm single.
This could be whatever kind of podcast you want.
I'm just saying, though. Like, I'm always like, I'm single. Follow me on Twitter if you're hot.
All right. Follow her on Twitter. You should follow her on Twitter anyway.
Yeah.
She's fun.
She's awesome.
I do write some cuckoo shit.
You do write some cuckoo, but the fun cuckoo. It's crazy for cuckoo puffs. Cocoa.
Yeah. My mom's like, the other day, she's like, your dad told me that, she doesn't talk like that, but let's pretend like she does. Your dad told me that you had a picture of your nipple on your Twitter. And I'm like, no, I didn't post a picture of my nipple on Twitter, Mom. It's a photo from a photo shoot, and I'm wearing a lace shirt, and like, I didn't look good with a bra, so why would I wear one? And there's a little nip hanging out, but it's fashion. Like, exactly. Like, yeah. I didn't post a picture of my nipple. Like, I'm not an attention whore like that. Like, I'm just like a.
That would
kind
be
of
an
like
awesome Twitter picture,
one.
Though. Just a nipple.
Oh, they'll shut you down for that.
And
I'm bitter with Twitter right now because I finally, you know.
You're bitter Twitter?
Yeah. Well, you know, people gif you because I'm an internet troll. Like, I always dreamed of getting gift. You know what a GIF is?
Oh, like a picture.
Yeah,
like
it's like a moving picture. Yeah. It's like three images or multiple images put together, and it moves over and over again. And it's just like,
it's like a repeating movement of a picture.
A trolly, amazing internet thing. And like, I just always wanted to be a GIF. Well, finally, I got GIF at Comic-Con. And it's so amazing because I like blow a kiss, like all sexy. And I'm like, and Roger is in it, in the GIF. And he's like in the back. It's so
just
strange
smiling.
And funny and perfect and like a dream come true because I have... You know,
what was,
basic
what was
ass dreams.
Just talking about your nipple for a second,
oh.
Which is always a great topic of conversation. on set, see, I wasn't there when you did that thing with Arturo,
but
we were shooting a scene, and I was off camera, and you were, no, I'm sorry, I was on camera, you were off camera feeding me lines, and you were dressed in your character, and you had and I think your shirt just somehow slipped, and.
Oh, again, my nipple came out
again. Your boob was out. But you, I don't think anybody else noticed. And I'm doing the scene, and I look at you, and I'm acting with you and feeding, and I just do one of these. I go, "Well, honey," and I do one of those, and then in between, I go, "Olivia," and you just go, "Oh, sorry."
Yeah, my wardrobe was.
It was very loose fitting.
Yeah, it was just like these like very thin t-shirts, and. Yeah.
We so want to talk about what your character was, but we can't.
I know. It's so exciting. I'm so, like, it's for me because I transformed in it and it's like a legit costume and not who I am. It was just.
But you fit it. Like,
so
it wasn't
fun.
Unbelievable. Like, when watching it, you didn't look at it and go, that this person is just in a way. Like,
I think that I have a dark side for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
I think that I have, like, a really dark side. And I think that because my mom was a girly girl, I have, like, a feminine side to me. But I don't, if my mom, probably wasn't like super duper feminine pageant glamorous Southern woman, I think that I'd probably have like head to toe tattoos. Who knows? Like, who knows who I'd be? But I think, who knows?
That was like a little extension. This character might be.
Well, it's come
extension.
Out. Like, I've gone through my stages in life, you know, and I have my days more than others where I'm like, you know.
I could totally see the character that you did in the film as who you might have been a couple of years ago.
Yeah, like, I think that's probably like a better way to put it.
Yeah. And to everybody listening, trust me, when I'm allowed to talk more about the movie,
yeah, it really is probably the worst thing ever to not be able to talk about things, especially lately. Like, people have actually wanted to talk to me, and I'm like, oh, I just, and you know what, they're so gracious, and they want to know what else I have going on, and I'm like, I feel like, oh, I'm sorry, we can't talk about this movie. I did a movie, and it's a very big deal, I tell you, it's brilliant. But I can't talk about it.
Unfortunately, we can't talk about it. Not yet.
Like, fucking bullshit.
If I tell you, I'd have to kill you. That's the intensity.
And I'd owe the studios $10 million. Well, I don't know about that, but I don't think we'd ever work with them again.
Like, don't come for me. I just want it up on IMDb.
I know. Like, every day I'm Googling, and the only thing that comes up is that thing that you already saw, I think.
I know. Yeah, me too.
I'm
trolling. People don't realize. It's like, it just is crazy. It's like so crazy for us. It's like a roller coaster. Because you're really out of the loop. People think because you're in the movie that you really know everything that's going on, and it's such like you're only in the mix for really a small amount of time when it comes to the filmmaking process, and mm-hmm. it's so out of, you know, other people's hands, and that's why you shouldn't go on the internet and read about yourself.
Well, would it know, because you had
we
mentioned
got
that
so
you're
off topic. I'm like,
don't see that. That's,
you guys,
by the way, that's
the ADD
point
queen up in here.
This podcast is just, it is, it's stream of conscious. It's just very conversational, and whatever and what happens happens. Now you were talking about before, like way before, trolling on the internet about the cheerleader movie, and you started saying that most people were just, the biggest thing was that they were surprised that you were so small.
In person. There was like a reaction for people like meeting us at Comic-Con, meeting me at Comic-Con and getting that experience. And I got really positive feedback, you know, like you don't really know if you're going to be good at, like, being interviewed and doing press, because you do get asked a lot of the same questions, and you do have to keep your energy up a lot, and you want to, like, be gracious to people and, like, be in the present moment to, like, experience it, but it becomes, like, it gets pretty crazy, and you're like, holy crap, this is a lot. But what was I saying? I'm sorry.
What I was going to ask is, like, what has the overall, like...
Okay. So, yes. So, I mean, it's different. Everybody has their own opinions. It's a B-movie. So, there are those people who, like, they're writing reviews on the internet, and they're, like, seriously, like, taking it too seriously. Like, yeah. It's, like, this big, you know, blockbuster movie that had all these expectations, and it's just, like, it's not that kind of thing. Like, it's a B-movie. Roger makes movies for pure entertainment value with the nudity. Oh, we were talking about the scene with Tiffany, the booby scene, you know. Yes. They wanted the movie to be like very like Hangover-ish. They wanted it to push boundaries. They wanted it to attract a certain kind of male demographic. And, you know, that's really the thing, is that everybody watches movies for different things. Not everybody wants to watch like the art film. Some people want to watch something that they're going to laugh at. That's going to be, you know,
entertainment.
Fun, entertainment and sexy. And I think that Roger does push boundaries. And I think that like with all like the porn on the internet, like we talked about this at Comic-Con, like, you can Google people having sex. So it's like, what's really that crazy anymore? So I guess when people, they like talk to me about the nudity in the movie, or like, it's so crazy, or yeah, like there's a giant fetish, whatever. Like, it's just really not that big of a deal. Mm-hmm. But at least maybe that's just me. Maybe I'm just like a freaking crazy, you know, crazy bitch who's just like, yeah, it's nothing. I'd tie me up 50 Shades of Grey, me right here, right now, Christian Grey. Like, I don't know. But I don't, you know, it's different for everyone. But I think it's campy, and it's silly, and it doesn't take itself too seriously. And I had a blast making it and getting to know the people.
The important thing is, when it's over, are you happy with the job you did? And are you proud to be part of the project?
Yeah, of course. Of course, there are things that you always want to do differently. Always. Mm-hmm. But you got to come to a point where you can get closure on performances and stuff. I mean, I can't imagine what it's like for you when you do stand up, when you guys get up there, because I grew up being on stage, you know, doing live performances, dancing, singing, pageants. That's a live thing. And then like when you get into like TV and film, there's this element where it's not live, where it's it's still a performance, but
you suddenly have to
trust.
You have to trust somebody else, like a lot of people, like director, editor, sound, lighting, that it's going to look and be as great as you imagine it being at the time, without getting that instant feedback.
Yeah.
Like you would when you're on stage.
The only saving grace, I think, is that for the most part, I've done comedy, and with comedy, when it's funny, you usually have people reacting on set.
On set, yeah.
And if I think that's the saving grace, is that people will laugh. People will come up to you on a comedy set and they'll tell you what a great job you did. I mean, I've never done like anything super dramatic where you're like crying and screaming and losing your mind or whatever. But I would assume that people would be put a little bit more distance to you on a role like that. And that this, like, the energy on set would be a little bit more heavy,
Solomon,
you know?
Yeah, totally.
And that's another reason why I love being the 50-foot cheerleader, is that, like, God, life right now. We opened up with the strong politics opening, but it's like, it's heavy out there, you know? Like, it's not the 90s anymore, kids.
It's not even the 2010s anymore.
They're trying to take out my birth control methods, and my uterus is exploding on a daily basis. And I'm like, sometimes you just got to watch a movie about 50-foot cheerleaders who are so hot and sexy and hyped up on drugs that they get in a crazy cat fight. Like, why not?
I agree.
Yeah.
I don't have a uterus that explodes.
What if I just Alexander for president?
What if I just, seriously, what if I just started writing reviews of my own movies? Like, does anyone ever do that? Is anyone ever like, this is my review of the movie that I was in, and actually spill the tea? I mean, you're probably not allowed to.
Why not?
I don't know.
You have a website. Blog it.
Yeah, I do blog. I do get on the blogs. I tried to do vlogs, but I feel like an idiot.
Yeah, I tried that. I didn't even try. I started editing one, and I'm like, this is way too much work, and I can't commit to this.
I'll do the YouTube thing, which I love. I love making videos. I love, like, putting stuff out there and doing my own little channel or whatever. I'm trying it. I've only been doing it for a few months now, but I'm trying it. But the vlogs, I, like, start watching myself back, and I'm like, this is what I sound like? I'm like, wait, no. I am so annoying.
You are not annoying.
No, I'm like, don't leave me alone with myself.
That's a completely different blog that I think most people would love to see. But
Zing.
But speaking of doing things alone, that's not even the perfect segue. let me just.
Are you gonna try to do the SG?
Yeah.
That was horrible.
That was awful. Let me do that again. Okay, Olivia, say. I like creepy things.
I like creepy things.
Hey, it's funny you should say that. Speaking of creepy things, here's a little part of the show that's called The Skippy Green Show.
Ooh.
It's The Skippy Green Show.
Why, Olivia, hello.
Hi.
You look fuckable.
Oh, thank you.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. So, Olivia, first of all, I'm a fan of your work.
Thank you.
I haven't seen the films. I've seen the pictures.
Of course.
Big fan.
Thank you.
And this little, No. Thank you. This little thing called the Skippy Green Show. Now, how this works is I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
And you got to answer this question in 10 words exactly.
Oh, shit.
Not 9, not 11, 10.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Skippy's a jerk.
Fuck right. Fuck left. Fuck whatever you want, as long as you're fucking.
Exactly.
So you ready?
Yes, Skippy.
All right, here's a question.
Okay.
If you were truly a 50-foot horny cheerleader, what national monument would you want to fuck, and why?
Oh my gosh.
10 words.
10
exactly.
Words exactly.
I'm telling you, he's a jerk. He sticks
to Shut your mouth.
I would fuck the Statue of Liberty in New York.
You gotta say why, though.
You gotta say why. Let's go back. I would fuck the Statue of Liberty.
Oh.
Why? 3 words.
I would fuck the Statue of Liberty because she's hot.
That's a
it's
perfect
good enough
that's
for me.
Really hard.
That's good enough.
Skippy, you're an asshole.
Oh, no. If there's something hard, it's going in the asshole. That has nothing to do about being the asshole. By the way, I loved that she picked a woman.
Yeah, well,
you could have picked Mount Rushmore. You could have picked the Washington Monument. You went right to the fucking Statue of Liberty.
Well, I thought about Mount Rushmore because that's more like face-sitting.
Yeah. You could sit on the Statue of Liberty's face. Give me your tired, your masses, and your horny. That's what it should say on there.
Yeah, I just think the Statue of Liberty, for me, she's really hot.
Well, that would be the Statue of Liberty.
And she lights your fire.
Yeah, she really does.
Liberty.
And I have had relations with other people from American history before.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, I heard. You were with one of the presidents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not the Kennedys, unfortunately. Marilyn Monroe style. You don't get it, Skippy. Skippy doesn't get it.
I'm missing it.
That's what he gets for making me answer something in 10 words. It's fucking hard.
Well, you know what? I apologize.
What you should do?
Get
your lucky penny and hold on to your lucky penny.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well. See, that's what we call on the show an inside joke that even I didn't get.
We're deep inside.
Yes, exactly.
Speaking deep of deep throat. Inside, I got to see Olivia after the show.
Skippy.
But, Olivia, it was so great having you on this.
Skippy and left really quick.
Skippy did leave very fast.
Skippy.
He's
like, I'm getting the fuck out of here. Yeah.
Skippy's got to get the fuck out of here.
I'm not going to say bye, y'all.
Thank you guys for having me.
Thank you. I hope I
lived up to the 50 foot.
You were amazing. Yes. And before we go,
you were 100 feet of awesomeness.
Thank you.
Before we go, you could check your website.
Olivia Alexander online and Twitter at Get Lucky with Liv.
There you go.
And, you know, you can Google.
Google Olivia Alexander. See Attack of the 50-Foot Cheerleader.
Yeah,
it's free.
It's free. EpicsHD.com. And then in our next project together, which, again, we can't talk about.
But you know what? When the project is really announced, maybe I'll have a special podcast.
I also have a web series with Ben, who's also in our film.
Ben Morrison.
Called Focus the Series with Michael Ray Bauer. It's comedy. It's we've got 3 episodes out right now. We have another one coming, and it's about focus groups.
Oh, very cool.
And I play Daisy, the focus grouper by day, and the dancer by night.
I see a pattern here. I see a pattern.
Yeah. So check that out.
Well, check all that out with Olivia Alexander.
Aren't you allowed to say the name of the movie that you guys are in now that it's been released?
The name's out. If you Google, but the thing, nobody's name is attached to the project.
Yeah, there's really nothing out there.
We only knew to search for the name because we knew what the name was.
I see.
Yeah. We're not allowed to say anything yet, but this is cool. It's building up the excitement. It's building up what the fuck is this movie? Of course, if you're any friend of mine, you already know. And also, Allison, check Allison out at dirtyguitargirl.com, Twitter at Allison Comedy, right? Yay. And of course, guys, you know, you can check me out, flipisfunny.com, Facebook/FlipSchultz2, Twitter at FlipSchultz. And this week, tomorrow, which will be Wednesday the 26th, you could see Skippy Green tomorrow night at the Comedy Store as part of San Tripoli's Naughty Show. Thursday, Allison and I will be in Huntington Beach at the... Olivia just said something really interesting.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. Oh, we should talk about that another time. Thursday, Huntington Beach. Allison and I will both be at Gallagher's Bar and Grill in Huntington. And then Friday, we'll be at a new comedy thing. I think it's called... Oh, God, wait, hold on. I could tell you right now. It's called Casa Ranchero in...
Not Casa. I think it would be Casa.
Sorry, Casa. God, I'm so fucking white.
Casa
Ranchero. Casa Ranchero in Ladera Ranch, California.
Ladera Ranch.
All the information at flipisfunny.com. You guys, fantastic. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you next week. And there's also some big news coming up with the podcast. I have to get it all official, but when I do, trust me, you will know. So, guys, thank you again. And one more time, thank you. To the lovely
No, thank you guys so
Olivia
much for
Alexander.
Having me. I, you guys are incredible people, and I'm so honored.
Who apparently makes out with awkward-looking men. We'll see you guys later. Bye.
Talking about what's ever on their mind.